Welcome to the Cinemaniacs for January 27th, 2008.
There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys, pretty pictures, pretty
right, pictures. Welcome to the Cinemaniacs, my name is Walt.
Hi, Walt.
And this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I think we'll be ready to go then.
I think so too.
Alright, this is, are we going to call this number one or we're still in beta?
Are we ever really going to be out of beta?
I think we're going to work on that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let's start it off then.
Let's call it number one. Yeah.
And that would be making sure that we're in a true commitment mode.
That's right.
All right. Cinemaniacs number one. We're recording this on January 27th, 2007.
2008.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure glad we worked out all the bugs before we officially made this number one.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Saw movies, the actor Heath Ledger passing away, and the Oscar nominations. This week, we'll be handling supporting actors and actresses. And, of course, whatever coming out this week on DVD.
Oh, and Blu-ray.
And Blu-ray.
That's right. So we could officially call the Cinemaniacs now true Blu-ray supporters.
Yes.
Yes. Have we picked our format?
We've picked our format.
We have picked our format.
We're not opposed to HD DVD, but doggone it, I don't know how much longer it's going to last.
That's right. And this has nothing to do with the whole industry. I mean, we were actually ahead of the scale by about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks, we had made the choice.
That's right. Well, one of us made the choice for us.
Right. That's probably what ended the format war when the Cinemaniacs chose.
That's right.
See the
so to all of you who invested in HD DVD, you're welcome.
It's like back when they had the VHS and Betamax wars, when the porn industry chose a side, that was the side that won. Here's Cinemaniacs in the same way.
I feel like the porn industry. I really do. Rich, but a little dirty. And rich in spirit, not rich in money. If I was rich in money, I wouldn't be doing this.
No.
No.
So, Jeff, get us started. The Saw movies. You had never seen the Saw movies before.
I had never seen any of the Saw movies. Not a single one. Don't know what kept me away from them. No particular opposition to them. I love a good slasher flick, you know. But that actually, you know what that might have been what kept me away from it is, you know, you see one slasher flick type thing, you see them all, and I didn't realize the amount of ingenuity that went into these things. So over this week, I have ended up watching all four movies. And I'm now a fan of the series.
Excellent. I've been a fan since the beginning. I saw 1, 2, and 3 in the theaters, and this evening we just saw number 4. So for those who haven't taken the plunge, what would you have to say to them, Jeff? Tell us about it.
Well, basically, it's a morality play. It's more of a morality play than any slasher flick. You know, your standard slasher flick, he's crazy and wants to slaughter anybody. Usually the people he picks conveniently happen to be, I don't know, drug addicts, pre-marriage kids having, kids having premarital sex, all the quote naughty things. And this guy is actually taking on people with more serious issues. Not necessarily psychos in their own right, but people that haven't necessarily lived their lives or have taken what they have for granted and trying to give them a new lease on life. Mind you, very few of them get that new lease on life. Almost none of them. But
well, that's the whole great point of the movies is them trying to solve their life's problems.
Exactly. Solve the mystery and you can be alive and appreciate your life. And it's an interesting twist, you know, and the mechanisms that these people have created to maim and destroy the human body while there is an escape method. If you don't escape, you're in for a world of hurt.
A lot of people classify these movies as torture porn, along with the Hostel movies, and I can see that, but there's so much story behind it that it really demeans it by calling it that.
The Hostel movies, I would say another thing is we saw Hostel 2 last week. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Liked it better than the first one, because anybody that likes horror movies knows a strong heroine influence, strong female influence that wins is just more satisfying. You know, the first time it was the guys getting tortured, one guy gets out, you're like, okay, yeah, that was fun, kind of gory. This one, they made, you know, the second one made it a lot more interesting. You know, female protagonist who ends up, you know, solving it or whatever. But I still do agree that, yes, this is more, excuse me, this is basically people being tortured for money, for sick pleasures. So,
the
yeah,
hostile
torture,
movies.
Yeah, are. The hostile movies. Torture porn. There's a morality play at work in the Saw movies. You know, and that's, it makes it interesting. It definitely makes the villain, you know, Jigsaw John Kramer, much more interesting, and each movie he gets just a little bit deeper.
Right. You get to know more about him, more of his backstory.
And I love how every story, I mean, this, I don't feel like I've watched, you know, four distinct stories. I've watched four pieces of a bigger story.
And we're talking about it right after the movie. Like, did they have this all planned out from the beginning?
I know.
You know, I'm looking and I see the same writers have worked on every one of them. So
it makes you wonder how big of a story arc is there, you know? Mm-hmm. If they've got them planned out, then they must have had things, you know, this has got to be a big story arc.
And Saw 3 has been out for over a year, so I don't mind saying that you watch that movie and you're like, okay, there could be the end of the movie, but somehow they pulled it back in and created a sequel, and I'm sure they can do that with this one. And so there could be never end. I mean, I love the slogan, if it's Halloween, it must be Saw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're pulling out character. You pulled out the character and dusted off the character from 2.
Right.
And he was in some of 3 and everything like that, but once again, you never saw exactly what his fate was until this new movie.
Fantastic. So I've given, I think, Saw 1, 3, and 4, each 5 stars, and Saw 2 I went down to 4 stars with.
All 5 stars for me.
It's a fantastic series.
I was really... Yeah, they've definitely taken horror into a new area, and that's a little bit more of an intellectual area. A little bit more. Not, you know... Like I said, the morality play I love, and the traps are intricate and interesting, and how, you know, it's... How do you figure this out? I mean, we're sitting in there watching the movie, you know, in that comfortable setting, lights down, sipping on sodas, and we're trying to... And we can't figure this out. Imagine this character bleeding from whatever he's bleeding from and, you know, in severe panic mode.
Trying to figure out his puzzle.
It's amazing. Yeah, amazing.
So, go see the Saw movies if you haven't seen it. Start with one and work your way through them.
Yeah, I bet...
You'll enjoy the ride.
Boy, I'm telling you, it's hard not to do it in a night.
Now, if you got a weak stomach, it's not for you, perhaps. But
that is true. There are moments that will make you cringe, but you know, if you don't mind a little bit of blood and guts, and you like some interesting shock, you know, it'll blow you away.
Yeah, we're talking blood and guts like you'd see on ER or maybe even the MASH series. There's, you know, bloody hands, bloody operations, and things.
Oh yeah, no, there's a scene in this movie that resembles Heroes. You know. The cheerleader girl wakes up on a autopsy table with her chest wide open.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not that much more gory. At least to me anyway.
Right.
Yes, all five stars, that's a total of 20 stars.
20 stars.
20 stars. That's a 20 star series right there.
Okay. Next subject, we have Heath Ledger passed away this past week. Apparent overdose.
Possibly. There's still everybody's talking, could be this, could be that. I'm really less interested in digging up any kind of dirt on the guy as thinking about what we're gonna miss in the movies he would have been making. You know, mm-hmm. He's made some very interesting movies. He's chosen, you know, he's had the good looks that he could have taken the very easy path and made buckets of money doing bubblegum movies that mean nothing, but he wanted to get out there and take chances, you know?
Right. Most notably?
Brokeback Mountain. I mean, amazing. You know what? And I've joked with people, you know, I've had folks, it's not a gay cowboy movie, and it's a gay cowboy movie because of the gay cowboys and everything like that. But I'm not going to take away from the way it was shot, the directing, the performances. I mean, you watch Heath Ledger in this movie, he's not some Australian suave guy. He's this introverted, sometimes very scared, but butch Texas guy that barely moves his mouth to speak.
Yeah.
You know? You lose him in the character. He becomes the character. It was amazing.
Exactly.
It was literally one of the best performances I've ever seen.
It really
and
was.
I went into this movie with a huge, huge sarcasm meter on. You know, I'm ready to laugh my ass off at this, you know, and was blown away by how good he was in it.
It was. And it, you know, there were some scenes that, at least for me, I had to turn my head, you know, because... But the rest of the movie really kept you involved, and it had a good story.
Yeah. And you just felt bad for this guy. He was torn. He's living this life that isn't really him, and it's not necessarily working out, you know, and everything. But this, you know, through the whole time, you just, you know, he's the character. He's not, wow, that Heath Ledger. It's, you know, it's just the character. It's Ennis.
Right. Now, that's his most notable, most renowned performance, but... What we want to do is go take a look back at his career and talk about some of the movies that he's been in.
Well, I'll tell you.
Going right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He was in some series called Roar. Never heard of it. Two Hands.
Never saw it.
10 Things I Hate About You.
One of those bubblegum pop movies. That's one of the first movies that really got him noticed in that way, in the teen beat, tiger beat, heartthrob kind of way. And he got good reviews in it and made money, and he could have very easily have... That could have been his springboard into those types of movies and into that type of acting subset, you know, the Pretty Boys.
Right. I just saw it actually a year or two ago, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, very good. And he was, once again, he was good in it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones coming up we're just about to talk about is The Patriot, which is the first thing I'd ever noticed him.
That's the first movie I saw him in as well.
Yeah.
I expected more out of that movie than I got. I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but just with Roland Emmerich.
You know what it actually became to be to me was, it really was like, it felt like rehashing Braveheart for the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And I didn't really have a problem with it. I had a good time watching it. But once again, I mean, this is going to sound bad saying it now in the passing, but I know I've said this to friends. I recall his performance, and he was great, you know?
Yeah.
I remember seeing, and this is the first thing I noticed, and I'm like, I'm going to keep... This is one of those things, you know, this was Natalie Portman in The Professional. You see this person, you see such a really good acting job, you're like, in a decent movie, this, you know... But it's just one of those moments, like, wow, I'm going to keep an eye on this guy. If he makes another movie, I might... be prone to go see it.
Exactly.
And then the next one was Knight's Tale.
I haven't seen it.
Saw it. Not a great movie. Fun. Once again, he was good in it. You know, the movie itself was great. I just had an issue with the rock and roll music going on during Jousting, but that was about it.
It was like a modern day thing, or just modern music?
Just modern music that would play during the action scene. It was kind of like, eh.
Okay. But he was good in it.
He was good in it. This time he was British. Okay. So I was like, oh, wow, he's not... First I thought he was British. I didn't know he was, you know, Australian. I thought he was British for a long time. Took me a while to find that out.
Okay. Then Monsters Ball, which movie got a lot of nominations.
Yep.
I didn't care for it too much. And I'm really upset that Halle Berry even won an Academy Award for that performance. I was kind of bored by it.
No, I liked it. I liked everything. Halle Berry, one way or another, really didn't move me in any way. Everybody else did. Billy Bob Thornton was good in it. Once again, Heath Ledger, amazing in it. I mean, when the scene when he just turns the gun on himself is so, just happens so fast. You just, you know, it's like, wow, okay. It just, you know, it was, and what, another great acting talent. The father, the grandfather, Peter Boyle. Peter Boyle as the father was insane. He was just so gross, such a bastard.
Yeah,
you know. Then when he finally leaves his ass in the home to die forever, goodbye. You're like, good riddance, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, like I said, I agree. You know, maybe overrated, especially her performance, especially Halle Berry's, but still notable for some very good performances otherwise.
Mm-hmm. The Four Feathers. I think this was the Disney one that came out.
Didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. Nor did I see Ned Kelly or The Order.
Ned Kelly I saw recently. I saw within the last year. It was on HBO. Really good. Really enjoyed it. You know, it takes place in Australia about an actual person who fought a war, a revolutionary type war against the British who were occupying excuse me, who are occupying Australia or who are running the things down there. And very good, very good performance. He was leading man material in that. He was
really?
Very much so.
Ned Kelly, okay.
I would recommend it.
And The Order, also known as The Sin Eater.
Never saw it.
I didn't either. Lords of Dogtown.
Didn't think I needed to see that because I'd watched the documentary, so I really didn't feel like revisiting the material again.
I haven't seen the documentary. I have it, and I just haven't sat down to watch it. But the preview of this one, that looked actually pretty good. I thought I would catch it sometime. I haven't yet. The documentary was Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Thank you. Z-Boys. Yes, Dogtown and Z-Boys. And it was great. So,
The Brothers Grimm.
Oh. Didn't see it because of comments like that from just about everybody I know.
It's here we have Terry Gilliam, who directed 12 Monkeys, amongst all his Monty Python stuff, which, to be honest, I haven't seen much of. But 12 Monkeys is one of my favorite movies of all time. And so I expected a lot going into Brothers Grimm. Matt Damon on top of it, but I was sorely disappointed.
Yeah, I heard that from quite a few people. And even people that liked him in it still really, really disliked this movie.
Yeah. Then we have Brokeback Mountain, he did.
Which we've already said. I mean, amazing performance. Uncomfortable to watch at times. For some, completely unwatchable if you're that homophobic.
Right.
You know, there are people out there, and hey, you know, so be it. It's just not your, it's not your cup of tea.
Exactly.
But some really good performances.
Really, really amazing.
Yeah. Especially from Heath Ledger. Wow.
Then we have Casanova, which I didn't see. My wife Lisa, she saw it, and she said it was okay.
It was okay. Pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, he, once again, good in it, but pretty much standard fare. Nothing, you know, nothing to write home about.
Candy, I did not see.
Not even aware of it.
No. I'm Not There, which came out this year.
Haven't seen it. It's on my radar.
That's one that Cate Blanchett got nominated for playing Bob Dylan also. I don't understand
that. It's basically all these actors are playing Dylan at certain points in time in his life.
Okay.
You got Heath Ledger, you got Cate Blanchett, American Psycho, Batman.
Christian Bale,
who will actually be, Heath Ledger will be teamed up with in the next Batman movie, obviously.
Right, which is the big movie this year.
This is the one that breaks my heart about his career and him dying, because I've only seen little bits and pieces, but I know he's going to make this Joker, this version of the Joker, something ridiculously interesting.
Not taking anything away from Jack Nicholson or
good Lord, no.
Romero before that.
No, but this is going to be something completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
This is going to be a scary one, I hope.
I think so, too. He's going to be a lot scarier. Nicholson's was amazing, but I think this one's going to be much darker.
Exactly. That's what it looks. I mean, that 7-minute trailer they have out there, it just lets you know
this guy's just nuts. And not just nuts in a zany way. He's nuts in a truly scary way.
Exactly.
Which is going to make this great.
And it looks like he only has one other movie after that supposedly come out, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Another Terry Gilliam flick. And we don't know what's going to... That is actually... The fate of this movie is actually in question. We don't know how far he was into this, how far into the shooting. Posting has been suspended until producers decide whether or not to recast or abandon the project.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens.
But anyway, it's a very sad thing. That's why all we want to focus on is the work,
right.
The body of work, because we've lost a really good talent who is going to put some amazing performances in the can, and that's where I feel the loss.
Exactly.
My heart goes out to his family in every way. It's awful. He's 28 years old. I mean, my God, he's a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
It brings up thoughts of River Phoenix.
Totally. You know? That's how it hit. It hit me like Cobain hit me.
Yeah.
Cobain hit me, too.
That's what Elisa had said, that she felt more strongly about Heath Ledger than when Kurt Cobain did, because Kurt Cobain, you knew he was on that path of destruction from the very beginning.
He was. Yeah, this really did come out of nowhere, you know?
It was surprising.
Yeah. You never saw him in any of the tabloids. Well, I was literally watching The Soup last night, which is the latest incarnation of Talk Soup, where they make fun of everybody that's out there making asses of themselves. Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, all these train wrecks. And they had to report on, and all I could say was, you know, Heath Ledger died today. We have never, ever had any reason to say anything about this guy. We really wish that people would stop focusing in on the dirty because a really cool, really talented young guy has died.
That's what they said?
That's all they said. And our heart goes out. You know, that's all they would say. Couldn't say anything funny about it because there's nothing funny about it.
No.
That's classy. It's a loss. Because, yeah, exactly. The guy just lived his life. I mean, he might have... You know, we may find out he did have some troubles and everything like that, but, you know, he wasn't shaving his head in public places and acting like an ass, you know?
Exactly.
He was trying to deal with it. You know, if he did have problems, he was trying to deal with them in the ways normal people do.
Right.
You know, you can't not respect that. He was about his craft, and that's all he ever wanted to talk about in any type of... The only publicity he wanted was for his movies, for his work, you know?
That's what more can be said.
Exactly.
Okay, getting into the Academy Awards this week, we're going to talk about Best Supporting Actress and Actors.
So many of these movies I haven't seen.
So we'll start off with Best Supporting Actor. Casey Affleck, Assassination of Jesse James, and by the Coward, Robert Ford.
It's a very long title for what I hear is a very long movie.
I hear that too, but I hear it's good.
It was in and out so fast. I just, you know, and everybody talking about how long it was made me pause just long enough. So,
Casey Affleck, I've liked him in everything.
Me too. He's always done well.
Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
God, I love that guy.
I think that's a shoe-in right there.
Oh, fingers crossed. He was amazing. Right. I mean, he was so cold and calculating and just
the best villains of all time.
Yeah. I mean, him toying with that gas station attendant, and you know he's just millimeters away from just blowing this guy's head off with his cow killing thing. You know,
amazing.
Yeah, really amazing. Great role.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Charlie Wilson's War.
Philip Seymour Hoffman in anything is always going to be in there. He rarely disappoints.
Rarely. I mean, Hard Eight, which was one of Paul Thomas Anderson's first movies, where he's like a gambler guy, pulling little con games in the casinos. Fantastic. Ooh, yeah. Fantastic. That was pre-Boogie Nights. Philip Seymour Hoffman, you can't say anything bad about him.
Oh, my God. I mean, he made the latest Mission Impossible movie enjoyable.
Exactly.
Well,
it's good.
Think about how that movie would have been without him.
Yeah.
Everybody, think about it. Hard.
And Hal Holbrook got a nomination for Into the Wild, Sean Penn's latest.
Yes.
Directorial thing.
This is going to sound horrible. Didn't know he was still alive.
Oh, well.
Actually, I think I may have confused him with Jason Robards and thought he had already passed, which is really awful.
But Sean Penn out there directing again, so doing what he loves. And
I hear this is a really good story. And you know, most movies based on, you know, some of the best fiction is fact.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Hal Holbrook, his nomination reminds me of last year with Little Miss Sunshine. And
Alan Arkin?
Alan Arkin winning it, yeah.
Yeah, Alan Arkin was great. Yeah, that was a great great movie, great cast. And definitely worth, he won it, he earned it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, for Best Supporting Actor is Tom Wilkinson in Michael Clayton. And
haven't seen that, but I'm a big fan of Tom Wilkinson.
Michael Clayton just got so many nominations, and everybody just raving about it. And you're right, Tom Wilkinson, seen him in so many things. He's so great.
He's rarely ever disappointed me, even in his smallest roles.
This Best Supporting Actor is usually a very, very competitive field, and it looks like we have some great nominations there.
I think some of the most amazing performances have come out of there. Kevin Spacey for Usual Suspects, it's one of the first that always comes to my head.
Sure, that one, and the year that Cuba Gooding won for
Jerry Maguire,
that he was nominated with Edward Norton for Primal Fear.
Right. Oh my God!
I mean, that was just like a stellar year.
How do you win? How do you take those? It's awful. Yeah, it's hard.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we'll move on to Best Supporting Actress. Where we have, we had previously mentioned, Cate Blanchett for I'm Not There, She played Bob Dylan.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, she played Bob Dylan and played him well enough to get an Oscar nod.
Very good.
I definitely want to see it. I like Kate Blanchett. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. I think she's really good.
She's and as we'll find out next week, she's got two nominations this year, and she does that quite a bit, I think, getting a couple of nominations for actress and supporting actress.
Yeah.
She deserves it. She is that good.
She is that good, and she works hard.
In fact, I'm going to say that everybody talks about Meryl Streep and all her Academy Award nominations. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that Meryl Streep's been. I can't say ever, but I just don't enjoy her. You know, Devil Wears Prada, that was good. Whether it was worthy of nomination, I think they just give it to her. If she's in a movie, they give her a nomination anymore.
I don't know. I mean, the movies I've seen her in, she's always been very good. I mean, I haven't seen any of her more serious, sophisticated, artsy work, but some of the ones I've seen, I remember Death Becomes Her, very silly movie, but she was, pulled up silly.
I didn't care for that movie.
Well, I thought she was great in that.
Sophie's Choice was one of her serious movies. So boring.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible. I don't care how many Oscars she won for it or how great people say it. In my opinion, not great. No. Out of Africa, even with Robert Redford, not a great movie.
It's a long movie, in every sense of the word.
Yes.
I know.
Okay, so back to the Best Supporting Actress. Ruby Dee in American Gangster. That was Denzel's mom, I believe.
Yep.
Or grandma.
Mother.
Yeah. Fun role. I enjoyed
it. Sure. Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
No noms for Russell or for Denzel. Shocking to me, because...
Or Ridley Scott, the director.
Yeah. Great movie. Really great movie.
Enjoyed it.
And great performances. Great performances really by everybody. So, you know, definitely. I mean, she deserves her nomination, absolutely.
Sure. I'll give you opportunity to pronounce this name.
Oh, this is Saoirse Ronan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For Atonement. Haven't seen it. Don't know if I will.
Well, I'm definitely going to see it, because that's another one that's just got a bunch of nominations.
Yeah.
I mean, that could end up winning Best Picture.
If it wins Best Picture, I'll have to see it. I think it's a actual imperative. I have to see a movie that if it actually wins. I probably have to see it if it's nominated. So I'll probably have to see it.
Okay. And next we have Amy Ryan in Gone Baby Gone, which we mentioned Casey Affleck. Gone Baby Gone is directed by Ben Affleck.
Big Brother Ben, yes.
And I think also stars Casey Affleck in that.
Yes,
I hear it's very good.
So do I. Want to see it. Yeah. Actually did. I wanted to see it in the theaters, but just in and out really fast.
Yeah.
Didn't hang in there too long.
I have big hopes for Ben, because his last role, Hollywoodland, I didn't care for too much. And Ben is hit and miss with a lot of his movies. But now that he's directing, he can really choose the meat and potatoes of what he gets involved in.
Right.
And hopefully he'll be more successful at that.
Absolutely. Love Ben Affleck. Wish him all the best. Such a kiss ass. But no, I really do like the guy. So, I mean, I've enjoyed his movies. He's, you know, he tries to do more serious ones, but he's not afraid to do stupid stuff. He stays loyal to friends like Kevin Smith and shows up in most of his movies, even the smallest part, just because he likes...
Exactly.
Just because they're friends, you know?
Right.
That's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. And though I knock Hollywoodland, I enjoyed some of the movies that people rag him for. I love Geely. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
And also Daredevil. I liked that.
I liked Daredevil. Daredevil was fun.
That was just like the comic. I just loved it.
Yeah.
You know? Finally, in the Best Supporting Actress is Tilda Swinton, who is also from Michael Clayton.
So, this one, I have no idea what this is about, but it looks pretty... you know, amazing.
When I think about it, I think about George Clooney's other movie that he was involved in. The
Ocean's 13. That's the one you meant.
No. Syriana. When I think of Michael Clayton, I think of George Clooney's other big movie, Syriana.
Okay.
Because it's all that political and lawyer stuff going on, and that's what I haven't seen Michael Clayton, so I don't know, but that intrigue.
Yeah. So what is Michael Clayton about?
First of all, is written and directed by Tony Gilroy, who is part of Born Supremacy. It was the first one. Born Identity.
Born Identity.
Right.
Okay.
And so he's a house fixer, one of the big law firms in New York. And Michael Clayton takes care of one of these firms' dirtiest work. And working right for the guys, the founder of the corporation.
Okay. All right. So he has some kind of change of heart or something?
That's what it says.
Okay. We'll have to see it.
Yep. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. George rarely disappoints me. I even liked him in Batman. I just hated the movie.
Right.
Batman.
Exactly. I didn't hate Bruce Wayne.
I didn't hate his Batman. I just hated the movie.
Right.
That's Joel Schumacher's fault, giving us gay Batman. Gay neon Batman.
Joel Schumacher is another one, hit or miss. He's done some fantastically great movies, and then he's done some of the worst.
He's the most evil. I know, he's done some amazing movies, and he's the most evil presence in the movie industry because of what he did to Batman. Thank God for Christopher Nolan. I salute you, sir.
Exactly.
Get the Dark Knight back on the right path.
And that covers it for Best Supporting Actress. Next week, we'll be going over the Best Actor and Actress nominees.
Which, if it's anything like the supporting, it should be a very, very interesting crop.
Next up, we have what's coming out new this week on DVD.
Woohoo!
I'm looking over the list here, and I see nothing that really stands out.
There's just not a lot coming out.
Ooh, The Comebacks is coming out. The unrated edition.
Okay.
Oh.
Hey, Daddy Day Camp, the sequel to Daddy Daycare, so good they couldn't get either Eddie Murphy or the other guy to show.
More importantly, it has Cuba Gooding Jr. in it. What is that man doing?
That breaks my heart.
Here's a, as we just said, Academy Award winner.
Winner.
And he's doing Daddy Day Camp.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's so wrong.
I wish, I don't know if you get after his agent or who it is that is not helping this man succeed. He has the talent.
Yeah. I just saw him in Norbit recently.
Oh, so he's in Norbit with Eddie Murphy, and he does Daddy Day Camp. It's like Eddie Murphy and him are working on Norbit together, and he says, hey, you know, Cuba, I was going to do this movie Daddy Day Camp, but it kind of sucks, so you want to do it?
Sure. Show me the money.
I just feel so bad for the guy.
I do, because I love him. He's amazing. He can really do some good stuff when he wants to.
It was John Cusack is one that does some great roles, and he just admitted that he did a movie, The Martian Child, this past year, and he did it solely for the paycheck.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he admitted to it, you know, because there's another man that has talent.
But you know what? Yeah, you got to eat. You know,
you got to eat.
You know, and you want to be mad at him. Sometimes these movies are so bad, you want to be mad at him, but... Yeah, you gotta eat. You gotta make your ends.
Yeah. Oh, here's one: The Invasion's coming out, and that's also coming out on Blu-ray. So we'll definitely be picking that up. The previous incarnations of Invasion of the Body Snatchers I've seen: the original from the 50s and the Donald Sutherland one from the 70s.
Love the Donald Sutherland one. I actually prefer the Donald Sutherland one. And there was actually an 80s, early 90s one.
There was. I haven't seen.
I think it was called just Body Snatchers.
I don't recall, but I hear it's pretty good too.
No, it's actually very watchable. I haven't seen or really heard anything about this. So
all I know is that from the first time I saw the poster, Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig, I was there.
Yeah. Did you go see it?
No.
Oh.
But I wasn't there.
So you weren't really there.
No, I was just. I knew I had to see the movie, but when it came out,
it was
another one came and went so fast you missed it.
Oh, there's another one. Daniel Craig's in there. I'm interested in, but he's like playing second of banana to Nicole Kidman, so I'm like, eh.
I like her a lot, and I like him a lot, so hopefully it's good. Then they followed that up with Golden Compass, which I haven't seen yet either.
Yeah, me neither. King of California. Wow, that just came and went, didn't it? The King of California. That was the one with Michael Douglas.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never saw that. It was just really in and out fast.
Lake Placid 2.
Lake Placid 2 has got John Schneider in it.
Ooh, gotta see that.
Bo whatever.
Now, Lake Placid, that had Bridget Fonda in it, correct?
Bridget Fonda, Bill...
Paxton?
No, the other Bill.
Pullman?
Bill Pullman, yes.
Okay. I like Lake Placid.
Loved it. It had oh, God.
Alligators eating cows. You can't
just not even alligators eating cows. It had, what's his name in it?
Or crocodiles.
Oh, what's his name? It's killing me. Look it up. You got to look it up, Lake Placid, please. I'm picturing him, and I'm not coming.
Oliver Platt.
Lake Placid had Oliver Platt in it. Enough said.
He doesn't make enough movies.
He really doesn't. He's doing a lot of TV now. I've been watching him recently. He's on Nip Tuck this latest season. Okay. He's got a small part, phenomenal, hilarious every time he's in it. This dude should be in every movie ever made, period.
I love him every time he's on screen. I haven't, Lake Placid 2, I won't be checking that out.
No.
But what happened to Bridget Fonda? I mean, she was making, I was really loving her as an actress. She just made good movies. It, even something like Lake Placid, you don't expect much from, but it was enjoyable. And that's all that matters.
Great. Yeah, I know. I didn't expect to really enjoy that either. It looked pretty, you know, I didn't see it till video, and then was just, had a ball. You know, Brendan Gleeson, who's always good. It's the guy from, you know, well, basically, everybody remembers him as Amish from Braveheart.
Okay.
But he looks all different when he's all shaved down. But he was hilarious as the sheriff. Oh, Mr. Untouchable. This is the documentary that came out the same time as
American Gangster.
American Gangster came out. And this was actually, this is about the character that Cuba Gooding Jr. played in American Gangster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, Nicky Barnes. Nicky Barnes was played by Cuba Gooding Jr. in American Gangster.
All right. So
as you can see, this episode's really all been all about Cuba Gooding Jr. See, once again, in a really awful movie that went right to video that couldn't even get Eddie Murphy, who's actually been suffering lately, in, and he's in one of the best movies of the year.
I have to agree. That was a solid movie.
Yeah.
American Gangster.
Yeah, solid movie.
Well, anything else we have going on?
I think that's it. Well, back to the list. I think that's about it. The Unknown Trilogy. Yeah, but I have no idea what that means. Alright, so that looks like what we got for this week on the Cinemaniacs. And I gotta tell you, this still feels like about a beta and a half.
It's because you haven't heard of the edited version.
True. I don't know. I always imagine, though, it's always a lot of, haven't seen this yet. No, haven't seen that, but I imagine it's pretty good. We must be the most uninformed movie. Pundits? What will we call ourselves? We're not necessarily critics.
Movie guys.
Movie guys? Okay.
Just some folks from Vegas talking about movies.
That's right.
Oh, speaking of which, Netflix. My Netflix rank is up to 101.
Ooh.
Out of the 7-8 million people that use Netflix, I am ranked 101 now.
So you haven't broken the top 100,
but if you recall, when we started doing these podcasts, I was at around 500.
Right.
So up to 101. I was hoping that by the time we recorded this, I'd break the top 100, but it didn't look like it happened.
Well, hopefully by next week. So we'll have to start. Quoting your own reviews. You know,
that would be fine.
Yeah,
we could do that.
Yeah, crack open the old Netflix and go, well, I reviewed it. You know, this is my review. Yeah.
That's right.
You could actually use yourself as the third person, too. As they say, Walt Dietrich of Netflix gave it.
I could.
You could do that. I'd have to slap you down for it, but you could do that.
Well, we have some things up on the website. It's at thecinemaniacs.com. And you can email us at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com.
Yes, tell us how truly awful we are, but that we will be great eventually.
And if we are great now, tell your friends.
That's right. Genius in the making, man. You can get in on the first floor.
You can even record yourself a little short MP3, attach it to your email, send it to us, and we'll play it on the air.
As long as you're not too brutal.
Visit Podcast Alley and vote for us. The higher up the ranks we get, the more listeners we get, and gives us more incentive to be better for you all.
That's right. Because if we're just doing this for us, this is as good as it's going to get.
So with that, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Skipping, I'm freaking out.